Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got an exciting show for you tonight. I certainly hope and trust and pray that you will get something from tonight's broadcast as we ask questions and, you know, count on God's blessings to direct, guide, and lead us. So we're going to go ahead and ask. We're going to go ahead and ask God to join us. Lord, we pray that you would be in the midst of our program, bless us and keep us, direct us and order our steps, ask that you would allow us to take more from the program that we're bringing. These and other blessings we thank in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Tonight, if you're just joining us, we've got several scenarios that we'll be talking about, the importance of going to church, fellowshipping, and feeding on the Word of God. We're going to ask some questions around the area of, is it necessary to go to church? You know, do we need the fellowship? And then feeding on the Word of God, is that an individual thing? Let me go ahead first without ado and bring in my co-host. We're going to begin with bringing in Ms. J. Ms. J., welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you on board.
Hello, everyone, and happy Friday. And I'm excited about the topic tonight to see what everybody have to say about it.
Excellent, excellent. Let's go ahead and bring in Sir Benny. Sir Ben, it's an honor to have you, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Good evening.
All right. Okay. And Darren Deedy, we missed you last night. We're glad that you're here with us tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me, and I'm so sorry yesterday.
That's okay. There's never any pressure.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you whenever
tonight.
Excellent, excellent. So let me start. Michelle, let me start with you tonight. And I want to ask this question. Michelle, is it important, is it really necessary to go to church? Even before COVID, I mean, it's like, do I need to go to church? Do I need to go to church?
Well, for me personally, I feel that I need to go. I miss church. Right now, I haven't been going back to my church often still because of the COVID and a whole lot of more other things. So I watch it on television. It's not the same. I don't have that spirit feeling. I'm not feeling the fellowship that I have with my community and the other people, getting the spirit from the songs and the prayer. It's just missing. So to me, going to church is like a celebration time of my faith. You know, I just celebrate at church, surrounding, the atmosphere.
All right. So for you, it's a need. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here. Do you need to go to church, Darren Deedy? I mean, you know, why can't, you know, you have a sermon from home and get the same impact?
I have to agree exactly what she just said. I love going to church, but to be brutally honest, I mean, I've moved to Florida here 17 years ago, and I've tried to find a home church for years, off and on, and they just didn't have a soul like the one I used to up north, so I tend to, they record their Sunday so I, yeah, I'm out there on YouTube watching my old pastor from 17 years ago still. I've been to churches before, and it's just, you know, I've been there several times, and no one ever greeted me or, you know, took, you know, kind that there's a new person here or anything like that. So I just, I love six songs and a sermon and getting up and worship and just and enjoying being with the fellowship of the friends that I have there and coffee afterwards. It's something that I look forward to. As a matter of fact, I couldn't get enough on Sunday, you know, to get me through to the next Sunday that's when I started doing Wednesday night Bible study. So I became addicted to that as well. But I still miss the church. I do strongly agree being in the church, but finding a church is hard.
Okay, Sir Ben, let's bring you in here. Sir Ben, is it necessary for you personally to go to church?
The answer to that is, think about it, is weddings, weddings, funerals, church, connection. And then when people go, they go raise, you know, when there's a church or something, that keeps you connected, that keeps you in the same kind of life. It allows you to connect with other people who have different desires and wants. That's just a great, great spirit that allows you to be refreshed, renewed. And as I always say, it's like going to the hospital and finding out that you got a great partner.
All right. Sir Ben, we're getting a little difficulty from your line for some reason. It's coming through muzzle. But we're going to ask you to stand by and maybe as you take a look at maybe the area that you're in, it could be that. Let me go ahead and bring this thought in. Here's a scenario. We're going to start with this scenario with Daring Dee Dee. Daring Dee Dee, I want to start this scenario with you by asking this question. All right, the scenario reads here, I've gone to church, but it seems that I'm getting more negativity from the people with the gossip. It really kills my spirit. Daring Dee Dee, how do you address that? The negativity from the people, it really kills this person's spirit.
I'd have to agree with her because, for one thing, a church should not be a place of gossip or negativity. I feel for her. I wouldn't know how to handle that, but that would be something that would push me away from that particular church. I definitely would not partake in even listening to any kind of gossip or negativity.
Okay, all right. Miss J, and we see Sir Ben is logged back in, and we're just waiting for him to press 1. Miss J, let me ask you the same scenario here. I mean, what about the negativity in the church? Is there any way around that?
Yes. If I was to go to a church and I see nothing but gossip and negativity and all like that, that's not the church for me. You know, some people like churches like that, you know, but me personally, I have my one visit, and my next one would not be there. You know, so that's the way out. You have to find a church that meets your personality and your needs, you know.
Okay.
And that would not be for me.
Okay, so Ms. J, what you're telling me is that from one visit, that would give you an idea of what that church is like. Is that really a fair chance for the church? Is that a fair chance that you're giving it? Because it sounds like, are you looking for the perfect church? I don't think they exist, personally speaking. That's just my opinion.
No, I'm looking for the perfect church for me, the church for me. If I see a group of ladies, you know, because usually in the fellowship part, you might, you know, if people don't welcome you and you see them, you can tell when people just talking or all about nothing. They're not organized. They're not, you know, working together. You can kind of sense stuff like that. And a lot of times first visits, like first impression, you know, tells it all.
All right. Okay, we're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, thank you for joining back in with us. Sir Ben, all right, here's another scenario. It's like the people don't live the life or the lives that they profess to live. And I see that when I go to church. So, I mean, is anybody for real? How do you respond to that, Sir Ben?
Well, the answer to the question is
nobody's real. We're all trying to become better at who we are. And just because you have a name, a title, a position, none of that stuff has an effect on our walk in this thing called a Christian walk. We are all like children trying to become better, trying to grow in what we know. And everybody's at different levels. Some people are just on milk, some people are on solid food, and some people are on steak. So no matter where you are, no one person is better or greater than the other. We are all the same. We should all stay humble in our conversations and our walks and what we do. And just remember that Jesus died. That's an incredible love for a bunch of people that he knew didn't even like him. If you remember, it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all those religious zealots who were the ones that put Christ to death. They were the ones that thought they knew more and could do more and be better. The fact of the matter is, we need each other. God created Adam and Eve to be together. He needed that kind of communion, that kind of love, because he wants us to love him. And so we need people. We need communion. We need church. We need relationships, because communication is the relationship. And the more we communicate together, the better we are. Is it going to always be right? No. Should you expect it to be right? No. But still do your best, no matter what you do, and try to love one another in spite of people's little issues and things that's going on with them. That ain't going to change, because if one person gets over that issue, somebody else will come with another one. So just smile and be happy. Love one another. And remember, this is not our home. We're just passing through.
All right. So, Sir Ben, with that in mind, then couldn't we label pretty much all churches the same? And not expect that there's going to be perfection in any church. It's just people. People are people wherever you go. And there are people all over the world.
And that's correct. And remember, whatever area that we were raised in has the greatest influence on us. So if you're raised in a Hispanic neighborhood, your praise and worship is going to be that of a Hispanic, a lot of emotions, a lot of changes. If you're raised in a evangelical, you know, conservative, you're going to have those. So we take on the areas and the people that we associate with and commune with. And there's no right or wrong to me. It's different. I can go anywhere. I can worship with anybody. I don't have to look like you, sound like you. I don't even have to speak your language. If the Holy Spirit is operating proper in me, he will give me the same response whether I'm in any type of church, a non-denominational church, whatever. But the fact is, we just want to be somewhere where we can be fed. Now, nobody eats at the same restaurant every day. Most of us don't. We all go different places. We all get fed. We all get a great meal. And sometimes you get to a restaurant and it's been good and you have a bad day and just didn't work out well. That doesn't mean you don't go back. It just means that you missed it that day. We just need to be fed. And you choose how and when and where you want to be fed. That's the word. The word feeds us. It helps us grow, mature. It gives our minds a greater understanding of who God is. And so get in a place that's going to feed you. And make sure they're feeding you good food, because bad food has a negative return.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. I know we're still getting a lot of wind in his background. We want to bring in Marjorie Cross in a moment. She'll press one on her dial. We want to give her an opportunity to give a commercial break as well. We didn't give her that last night, but we certainly want to give it to her today. Let me also go in and ask, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is the importance of going to church, fellowshipping, and feeding on God's word. All right, let's go back up here now. Daring Didi. And Daring Didi, the question becomes now, when it comes to fellowshipping, how do you interpret fellowshipping? I mean, the Bible tells us to forsake not the assembly of the members of the church. So how do you define fellowshipping? Do you need that fellowship?
I think the fellowship is strong. It's one of the greatest commandments. Love your neighbor. I think fellowship, gives you support. It allows you to, stay grounded. Not only, in spiritual guidance, but in times of need or celebration, it's good to fellowship with the other members. That's you're like a family, if I could say.
All
right. I missed that with my old church. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Missy, I want to bring you in here. Fellowshipping now. Remember, you talked about finding the perfect church for you. But if we're fellowshipping, now aren't we fellowshipping with the same people who might be spreading gossip and rumors. And did you see what that young girl had on? How dare she wear, you know, something at her knees? She should have her dress all the way down to the floor at her ankles. So how do you respond to something like that? These are the same people. It's people.
You know, in the church there are several people. So if you get with that group who's criticizing all that, of course, a person that, you know, really trying to be in the Christian spiritual mode would not do that, you know. So you would just go and continue on your little happy journey, fellowshipping with other people, you know. You can say praise the Lord, what you want to say to them, then just keep it moving to somebody else, because the point of it is to, you know, to network like Dee Dee said, you know, with to have a good church family, and it should make you happy and joyful to fellowship and not criticizing. So to me, that's not fellowshipping when you doing that. That's gossiping, you know.
Okay,
I guess, you know, that's not the Christian way.
So Miss Jay, I mean, like me, I certainly am nowhere close to being perfect, right? I mean, I just don't think that there are any perfect beings, but there are probably people who are a lot better off than I am. But, and I'm going to just say about me. All right, so here's a situation where, you know, I'm almost certain, there's no question that I am sure that I have engaged in a conversation where somebody was gossiping. And then might say, well, Brother Walker, you know, can you believe that this lady and this man had an affair in the church and they both married? And it's like, wow, who are you talking about? Okay, so Miss J, that is never, you never wanted to know, Miss J?
Okay, now I have said, wow, really? And then I, you know, to further that engagement, to me, that's when you really get into the gossip. You just, to me, you just addressing what a person said, you know, responding back, saying, wow, okay, you know, really? And then, you know, if they continue on and you keep asking questions, then you are engaging in it. But if you
and I found myself caught up into that. So, Miss Jay, I mean, am I?
I don't
want to
be
with
me personally. I don't want to get caught up in that. Not at church.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. Hold up now. So you're saying not. So if it's as long as it's not at church. So if somebody calls you on the phone and they're saying, Sister Jeanette, you know, Sister Jay, listen, I heard some news today. That's not going to arouse your suspicion?
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to be honest with you. I go to church to fellowship. Now, if they call me at home, I might ask some more questions. But I didn't do it for my plan was at church to fellowship one with another in a Christian harmony way. Then, you know, I guess I don't know what I'm sending or what, but I do not do that on the premises at church because that's not why I came there.
Okay, all right, but is it fair to say they come to you and say, girl, I got some food.
I call you tonight.
But she say, how long before you get home? You say, I'll be home in 30 minutes, girl. Now, she say, can I call you? What do you say, Miss Jay?
You know, at church, I'm going to stay in the word. I'm going to do what I went there to do.
Right.
And
church is out now. Church is out.
I'll be
home. And she said, girl, my ears are burning. Girl, oh, my tongue is burning. I got some stuff. And she said, how long before you be home? And I want to call you. What do you say to her, Miss J?
I'll tell her how long I'll be home. Okay, 30 minutes, I'll be there.
Okay. Miss J, we're going to ask you.
I'm being truthful. That's true. But I would not do it at church, but real. You can call me later on.
All right. Hold on. We're going to go to Marjorie Clark, then we're going to go all the way to Miami. I believe we have Miss Stephanie on the line. But let's go with Marjorie Clark. Thank you for joining us, Miss Cross. It's good to always have you. We apologize. We didn't give you a chance to give a commercial break last night, but here you are. You've got your 30-second commercial break. Go ahead, Miss Cross.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening to all your co-hosts. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world, Isagenics. And we have over 150 products that may be able to help you. We are A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. If you need any health products that may be able to help you, You could give me a call at 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. Or you could go to the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. And have a good day. God bless you all. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
All right. Well, thank you. Ms. Cross, before I let you go here, before we go to Stephanie on the line, I want to bring you in here and ask you the question. I know, chances are you're a good, righteous woman, but have you ever accidentally stumbled upon a group that gossips and you found yourself caught in the middle of that?
Yeah, well, usually when they're gossiping, you know, I try not to, you know, I just listen to what they're saying. And if I have something to add, I add it. Otherwise, I don't just get caught up. I just listen to them and, you know, because, you know, my mom always said, you can't say good, don't say bad. So I don't join in and say what they're saying. I mostly listen. And, you know, if
okay,
I have something to add, I add it. Otherwise, I don't.
So is it fair to say that you do stay there for a while and you may not engage verbally, but you actually, you listen to what's being said, the gossip.
Yes.
So, okay, all right, that's fair to say.
But sometimes
so,
what I do too, Dr. Walker, sometimes what I do too, like if it's something that I don't really want to get caught up in, I just change the subject so fast.
I see. But so you can distinguish or differentiate what you want to get, what you want to hear. If they started their conversation with, well, let me tell you what I heard about the preacher and Sister Jones over there. Now, is that something that you probably might want to stick around to hear, Sister Marjorie, just honestly speaking?
No, well, you know, as I said, no, because, you know, I may get caught up into it, but maybe I would just listen a little at first, and then if they're saying things that's really out the way, I just change the subject. Or, you know, just like, I'm good at doing that.
I understand. We're going to ask you all to stand by. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational program. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the importance of going to church, fellowshipping, and feeding on the Word of God. Let's go ahead and bring in Stephanie from South Florida. Stephanie, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us tonight.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, all the co-hosts and guests.
Okay.
How are you?
We're doing just wonderful, Stephanie. Tonight we're talking about the importance of going to church. Do you find that it's necessary to go to church? I mean, when COVID came, it shut down just about some of everything, but even the people who weren't even going to church at all were like, you know what, I don't go to church since COVID. But they weren't going even before COVID. So is it necessary, in your opinion, to go to church?
Yes. I feel like church is a place for you to go and not only just worship the Lord, but to fellowship with like-minded believers, and it's also a place for you to go to feel to feel like you know you're getting to know people outside of just hearing the preacher's word. But you know, when you go to church, you also get involved with auxiliaries there, and then from there you see the needs of not only just ministering to people in the church, fellowshipping, but you also get on auxiliaries, and then you find yourself maybe doing things like feeding the homeless, going to visit the sick and shut in, and you know, even you might even find yourself at a potluck. So I think fellowshipping is very important, and I think that the Lord wants us to fellowship with one another, with like-minded people, as well as you know, maybe you might even need to help them out in some kind of way. I mean, that's just what I think we go to church for.
Okay, so let me ask you. Let me just ask you. So I just want to ask this question. Is it possible then that you found yourself at church and somebody just so happened comes and says, Sister Steph, girl, I got some news that you're in church. I got some news. You might receive a note and say, can you, like, meet me outside, girl? This won't wait. Sister Steph, you're in church. I mean, I get it. You know, you're waiting for the word of God to come along. But you got this note before the speaker gets up. So, Steph, are you going to, like, just go outside? Or are you going to wait? What are you going to do, Sister Steph, honestly speaking? I mean, I'm just trying to find out how we operate as humans.
Okay. Well, if the note says nothing but just meet me, you know, can you meet me outside and this can't wait? Yeah, of course. Okay.
She's saying, I got some news that's just itching, girl. You got to hear, oh, I just heard this about Sister You Know Who. Okay? So.
No, because that's not me. I'm not going to get up and go because I heard something about someone. That's not what I do at when I go to church. I don't bring bones. I don't carry bones. And I certainly don't listen to people when they're even talking about others. So that's just not even me. However, if the note just said, oh, I have something to share with you, then of course I get up and go. But if it says something like, oh, I have some news or some gossip about somebody, whatever that is, that can wait. You know.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
All right. So, Seth, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. I mean, because, you know, I think, me personally, I think it's important to go to church to assemble with the people. But then the question becomes, like you said earlier, our purpose, and Ms. Jay said earlier, our purpose should be going to hear the word of God, to hear the word of God. But then, I mean, why wouldn't we expect that the devil really lingers perhaps around the church? And I'm not calling the people the devil, but the devil lingers around the church, and some people might have the devil in them. But then why wouldn't we expect, after all that, you got people who will likely have some devilment in them and want to intercept you from hearing the word of God? Shouldn't we expect that?
Okay, so here's a quick scenario. I'm going to do this in 30 seconds.
Yeah, quickly, please, Sir Ben. We got a lot to cover.
Yeah. Why is it that when you wear a white dress to church and you have the baby, that's the day the baby decides to throw up on you? Why is it when the dog goes outside, he runs into a puddle of dirt and mess and comes in on your nicely white furniture and shakes everything off? It's because the enemy always wants to go where there is elevation, and he knows that if elevation comes, then you're going to get more wiser and stronger. Church is like a gym. The more we go, we work out both our salvation and both our learning. We get stronger and stronger and stronger. And so the enemy has to fight harder and harder to get our attention. So church becomes that platform that it builds you up. And as you study and as you read, and I'm going to say it in this way because you got to study, because some people just read the Bible, don't ever understand and learn it and study it. As you study and you read, it strengthens you. And then when you go to church, it becomes the test. The test gives you all the information and answers you need to be positive, to make a great, great impact, and to strengthen your faith.
Okay. All right. Certainly we're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, let me bring you back in here now with another scenario. Fellowshipping. All right. All of a sudden now, this scenario right here is I married one of the deacons in the church, and the marriage only lasted 2 years. I really can't stand him right now, and we are members of the same church. So what do I do? Darren Deedy, what do you say to this person? They can't stand the person, but they go to the same church.
Well, they need to she needs to just repent and learning how to forgive and not let him bother her. If it's that bad, maybe she needs to look for another church. But she should be allowed to forgive him for who he is and not have it eat at her soul, you know, so.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so, Ms. J, let me bring you in with the same question. And that question becomes, you're members of the same church, so what do you do?
Okay, you know, I would not change church because if I love my church, pastor, and everything about it, I'm going to stay there. But like Dee Dee said, you know, forgive. You might not forget, but forgive and get in the spirit because your purpose there is not to like him. It's to save your soul. So, you know, she needs to let it go. You know, she needs to work on herself. That's all she needs to do, work on herself.
So does that mean changing churches?
No, no, no. So, if she loves her church and she's happy there, no. And she should not change. I mean, you know, that's that devil that's entering into her mind trying to keep that evil and not liking spirit. She needs to work on her own self, her own spirituality there. She needs to work on herself, get into that word, get into prayer, do something to work on herself. But she won't feel that way. And, you know, that man probably not even paying her any attention now, but she just holding this grudge. So she definitely need to work on herself.
All right. Okay, here's another scenario. Let's bring in Ms. Steph on this scenario. This scenario, when it comes to, like, okay, here's the scenario. We go to church to listen to the Word of God, to feed on the Word of God, just as in the program tonight. Let's bring this one to we're going to bring this, I think we lost Ms. Steph. Let's bring this one here to, let's bring this to Sir Ben. Sir Ben, we go to say we feed on the Word of God. That's why we're going to church. Okay, but all of a sudden now, we get these distractions. We get the distractions that come in because something else is going on. So even though we've heard the sermon, immediately right after church, now we get caught up into foolishness, into what's going on. How can we preserve the word? Sir Ben, how can we preserve the word and maintain the holiness or the righteousness of the sermon we just heard? How do we do that?
It comes down to a choice. It's like if you go to the doctor, there's a problem wrong with you. The doctor gives you pills. He sends it to the pharmacist. You go get the pills. You never take the pills. You've been distracted for whatever reason that you're not taking your medication. The word is medicine to our heart, and it gives us relief. It gives us healing. It gives us all the things that are necessary. But if we get distraction, which is the plan of the enemy, to distract us, and we don't get that proper healing, then the enemy has won in that particular battle. And so how do you say, how do we get to the place of, that's why I was saying earlier that church is supposed to strengthen us. And if the spirit is operating correctly, it should be a place of spirit where even though there's distraction, you are so connected and so focused to the spirit that the spirit is directing your path. Therefore, you don't have to be correcting what you do. The spirit has already corrected you and put you in the right posture and position to receive that which was given to you.
Okay. All right. So I don't know you all. This is just my opinion. Sometimes, I mean, I'm looking at the human element. And the human element is, in my opinion now, this is just my opinion, and I want to bring Stephanie in a moment. But the human element is that none of us are exempt from being human. And however we all define that, that means we have, all of us, men and women, we have emotions. We have an emotional makeup. That emotion, in my opinion, is what makes us human. All right? So we can go from having an exciting day that somebody sometimes may say something. It depends on our defense mechanism within that human capacity. Somebody says something, it can upset you. So, Misty, I want to bring you in and say, based on what I've just said, but before I bring you in, I want to bring in Ms. Steph. And, in fact, Ms. J, let me bring you in before I bring in Ms. Steph. And I want to say, Ms. J, so someone has just, you've had an exciting day, and all of a sudden now you're out on an evening walk, and you're listening to your music, and somebody says, like, they're walking by you. Can't you just turn that profane, and they use profanity, expletives, can't you turn that down? And you're like, excuse me? It's like, you know, your mama is stupid. So, Miss J, you went from an exciting moment to now what as the human factor? And I'm going somewhere with this.
So what's the question you're asking me?
As a Christian woman, now let's say church is out and you're taking an evening walk, and you got your sermon on, and somebody gets your attention, and then they start cursing at you to turn that down, what you're listening to in the privacy of your ears, and then they all of a sudden say something about your mom. Now, Ms. Gay, where does the human part come in? Or are you so righteous and holy that you just, I'm going to pray for you, sister. Tell me, Ms. Gay, how
you're talking about me as an older woman right now, because a younger woman, I would have handled much differently than what I'm about to say. But as an older woman, yeah, I was telling her, what? And then she said, and then I would just throw my hands up to her. I said, Lord, get out of my face. I pray for you. And I basically would say that. And I would keep walking. My hand would be up, steady walking. And don't let her come behind me. Lord, I'd be on my knees. Lord, please help me. Because if I turn around. So I'm just saying.
Okay.
But listen, this is something I want to say right quick. Well, I'm going to piggyback on Benny. Going to church and coming out, I feel when you go in a church of mindset, sometimes you come out with the same mindset. You call yourself listening to the preacher, but you talking about how the devil intervened. And you know how all of us do it, I know, at times. We get to daydreaming or start thinking about whatever or think about what somebody did to me or what I need to do. And you're not listening to what that preacher's saying. So, of course, you know, that's when that devil come into power. So, yes, that devil do come into that church. And my father always said, if you stay in church too long, linger on and on, he said, if people don't keep the spirit all day, that devil's going to get in there some kind of way. So you do find a lot of people that, you know, they might come in there with a good heart, but they get to daydream and think about all kind of stuff, and that devil, they're interceding them, and they come out with a terrible person, you know?
All right. Ms. J, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Steph, let's bring you in here. Along the same lines, now, that same person approaches you and they start talking about your mom. You don't even know the person. And then we're going to bring Suzanne in and just after you. So, Steph, what do you do?
I don't know. I think, like Ms. J, I mean, Ms. J said it all, actually.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what I would do. I you know, I'm not going to be very I'm not going to be combative, that's for sure. And I don't know whether I'm not going to be combative because I'm in church, but and if it's the Sabbath for me, I definitely am not going to be combative. I don't actually know what to do if someone came up to me and just started, you know, talking to me and bossing me around and telling me, I don't know what I'd do. I've never been in that situation, but I do want to talk about something that earlier about gossip. Now, I've had friends, as soon as church is over, Sabbath is over, and say maybe we are at a potluck or something, and then someone starts gossiping. I'm like, oh, my God, didn't we just leave church? Why do people not know how to turn it off?
Uh-huh.
You know, why do people not know how to turn it off? First of all, not just because it's a Sabbath or because you came out of church, whether you came out of Sunday church or not, but you know, I don't understand why people feel like that is the end result to anything. And I don't care how people look. I don't care what they do, how they act, what they say at church. I just mind my own business and keep it moving. You know,
okay.
If anything, I'll pray for the person. That's it.
Right. So let me ask you, Steph, and the human factor now. I mean, with me,
okay. If
I'm sitting around at that potluck or that after church, you know, we're having dinner or whatever we're doing, and the people bringing up me, the human factor, say, did you hear about this person? The minute they start to say that, you know, the hearsay factor, then it's like, girl, this guy, and even if they were whispering it to somebody closer to them at the table, I'm the human part of me, I help me, Holy Ghost, because I'm like, listen, what did y'all just say over there? Y'all know y'all shouldn't be whispering that too, but I want to hear. So, Ms. Steph, are you telling me that that's not you?
No, I mean, no, it's not me. No, it's not. I mean, if we're talking about something else, like, you know, something in the week at work, or, you know, maybe that's me, but nah,
okay,
I don't
so
want to hear it.
Gossip is different from the church people versus the work people who are also human? I'm just asking.
No, I didn't say that either. I didn't say we were gossiping about people at work. I'm just saying we could be talking about anything, maybe like fashion or something. That's little bit along the lines of what I'm thinking. But just to say, girl, did you see that dress on? No, that is not me. I don't think that's ever been me.
Okay.
Did you see that dress so-and-so had on? No. Mm-mm, I didn't see it.
Okay. Hold on, Ms. Dale. I want to bring in Suzanne.
Okay.
Suzanne, I want to ask you this question. Suzanne, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Suzanne, so the question, let's say you're married and it's right after church. We're talking about the human component here. I mean, tonight's topic is going to church, importance of going to church, fellowship, and then feeding on the Word of God. I think all of these things are important, my personal opinion. So, Suzanne, you're married, and all of a sudden now, you have an inkling that this lady, this other sister in the church, really likes your husband. You know, you and her don't really get along that well, but you know she likes your husband. Every opportunity she gets, she's in his face, and it's right after church now, and she's just giggling and laughing in his face, and he's giggling and laughing in her face. Sister Suzanne, how comfortable, and y'all just heard a sermon on love thy neighbor. So, Sister Suzanne, how comfortable are you with that? You're not standing. You see them from afar. And they're just
mm-hmm.
giggling like they can't, and they're just touching each other like they can't keep their hands off of each other. How comfortable are you with that, Sister Suzanne?
Well, I'm not comfortable at all with that because if she knows who I am, which I'm sure she would from us being in the church together, then what she's doing is being very disrespectful to me, and he's being disrespectful for allowing her to talk to him like that at the church or anywhere else in my presence. So her, I'm going to be upset with him as well.
All right. So you said in your presence. So if you don't
mm-hmm.
see it, it's kind of okay.
Okay, but what I don't know won't hurt me, as most people say, or sometimes
mm-hmm.
say, you know, what you can't see, you know, with your own eyes or hear, I mean, it really can't bother you. But if I can see it, then yes, it bothers me, and I will speak to her and him. But I'll try to be loving, but if things turn, then, you know, whatever happens at that point.
So, Sister Suzanne, you just heard a message on loving thy neighbor, and
mm-hmm.
so... Is there anything with him loving his neighbor, like showing compassion to just have a conversation and just have him there laughing? So what would make you think that something else is going on?
Well, it depends if it has been going on for quite some time or whatever, and I've spoken with him or her or whatever, and they continue to do it that way, then, like I said, then they're being disrespectful to me.
Right. So Suzanne,
mm-hmm.
she has no
mm-hmm.
duty to you, so why would you approach her?
I would approach them together.
I see. And she owes you
mm-hmm.
no duty. She can just walk away. So
that's right.
Are you okay with that?
Sure, she can walk away, but stay away.
Okay. All right, so Suzanne, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here. Now, this just happens outside of church, and your husband happens to be a very friendly man, and everybody loves him, you know, and some people love him a little extra, it seems. So, Ms. J, you just left the sermon on loving thy neighbor, you know, and the preacher even went as far as saying some of you women and some of you men, you get caught up because somebody is talking to your spouse. You know, and, you know, just for a few extra minutes, and they're laughing with them, And now you all, your emotions are running out of control. So, Sister Jay, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, we're talking about fellowship in here.
Well, me personally, now, you know, I hear your scenario, but I'm not the type lady that do a confrontation with another lady because I got my man. You ain't getting my man. So I'll probably just politely go over to my man because they don't have no confrontation with her. And, you know, I might hold his hand or put my arms around him, and she'll find out, okay, it's time for you to go, Sister May, you know. So I'm not a confrontation person, but I will present myself next to my man. You know, if I see constantly over there trying to talk to him, I know what she's doing, but I have to let her know, no, he's with me.
Okay,
and,
so
I think she'll get the message.
Okay, so go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm sorry. Not just her. He could be doing it too.
Exactly.
He could be doing things to come on to her as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, in that case, that'll be handled at home in the privacy of our home. We'll be having us a discussion. You know, I won't do no confrontation at the church. I just don't do that. But we would have us a conversation. And,
all right. So we're going to ask you both. And by Sir Ben, I want to bring you in with the human factor now. Let's just say, I mean, I know me now. I can't speak for other men. But Sir Ben, if I'm thinking that I'm just being friendly to this lady and my wife is there and she's like not liking what's going on, and then she's and just so happened, even if I am kind of like enjoying this with this lady, and I might have even started the flirtatiousness, you know, but now I'm in trouble with my wife. It's not likely that, you know, I heard the word, but I'm not getting ready to admit that maybe I started flirting with her. I'm going to try to get myself out of trouble with my lady. I'm not going to admit that I did this. So, Sir Ben, you're probably a different man, but do you think, generally speaking, that men would admit that they started this? I'm just saying. Sir Ben? Okay. Well, then I'll stand out here. Maybe he's on mute, but I'll stand out here. I don't think men... And I'm saying this, just, I can't speak for other men, but generally speaking, and men talk in the barbershops, and I hear it all the time from them saying, there's no way I'm going to admit to my wife that I did something wrong. And yeah, of course. Okay, their default is, I'm a man, you know. But other men start to like, hey, man, I feel you. I understand. So, Ms. J, I'm going back and saying it's not likely that the men are going to admit that they started that flirtationist. That human element is there, and they just came out of church. They're likely going to, if they're not going to try to blatantly lie, they're going to not tell the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing.
You know what, Dr. Walker, the man don't have to admit it to me, because if I got me a nice-looking husband and I know them ladies want to flirt with him, I'm going to just stay up the human aspect of it. Listen, you look good. You look good to them women. You've been with Sister So-and-so too many times, da-da-da-da. You say you ain't doing it. I don't care. But she will assume the way you carry yourself around her that you want to talk to her. So let's nip that. You know, you ain't got to admit it, but what you're doing, she can assume that you want to be with her. So whether you're doing it or not, nip it.
That's a good point.
And you don't have to admit it, but the fact that you're constantly around her shows that you must be interested.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an interesting point, Ms. Dell. Suzanne,
so
let me bring you in here. Go ahead, Michelle.
You don't have to admit it verbally.
Right. Your actions actually
Your actions will show whether or not you're
exactly.
interested in it.
All right.
Exactly.
So,
and then, like you talk about, the humor aspect of it. You know, if you're a good-looking man and you constantly flirting around and around the ladies, all those ladies are going to think you like them, whether you're doing it or not.
Right.
So just don't even be around them like that.
Right.
Okay. Miss J, you all in, and Mr. You all are not men, so it's like Adam. You think Adam could help himself when he saw Eve? He was willing to do probably anything. That Eve is just like men today. When you have a man, and if he's not feeling well, you say, here, drink this. And he might ask you what it is. And you say, don't worry about it, just drink it. He drinks that. If you give him some food, he don't even know what it is fully. It could be some kind of soup. And you just say, drink this or take this. He just takes it. That's what Eve did to Adam. He didn't even ask no questions. He just partook of it. So,
well, with all due respect to you men, I would have to train y'all the right way how to do when you're married and you're around other females.
Okay. So I'm asking this question here. Is it, Suzanne, let me ask you, is it all our fault as a man? And you're not a man, so can you really say?
No, maybe not all the time, but you know what you're doing. You're not stupid.
Okay. But couldn't we be innocent a little bit?
No.
Why not,
you know,
Suzanne?
I'm not
you
saying that
there
are women aggressive.
Yeah,
wait,
women.
Go ahead, Suzanne. I couldn't hear you.
No, I was going to say there's a lot of women that prey on married men. And
right.
You men like that, some of you. So,
I mean,
you know, you get all giddy and cute with them and everything. So they just keep doing it because you allow them to do it.
Well, how do
so
you, I mean, we're talking about church stuff now. We're talking about going to church, fellowshipping, and feeding on the Word of God. So are we supposed to be mean to the ladies who, or aren't we supposed to be encouraging and uplifting and filled with compassion?
No, you're supposed to say, if you got a problem, maybe you need to take it up with Pastor, the First Lady, or go up for prayer or something. But I got a wife. I'm happy.
So, okay.
Right.
All right. That's fine. Let me bring in, I guess we lost her, Ben. Marjorie Cross, let me bring you in here. Marjorie Cross. And I'm asking this question. So shouldn't, we're talking about feeding on the Word of God. Can we really feed on the Word of God and yet still be human? Marjorie Cross. And actually be able to deal with situations like we just presented. What do you say, Ms. Cross?
Yes, I think we should feed on the Word and just keep daily prayers and, you know, whatever situation we bring it to the Lord and leave it there, you know, but we should feed on the Word, as I do.
Okay, all right. So, Ms. Cross, have you ever, I'm just asking, and you can say pass if you don't want to answer this question, that will certainly tell us the, you know, you can just say pass. Have you ever been sitting in church and a new gentleman may have come in and, I mean, extremely good looking, and you found yourself hooked on looking at him? I'm just asking.
No, I look, but that's about it. I don't follow up or anything. Because when you see somebody attractive, you look and say, wow, that's a handsome man. But it's nothing to it.
Okay, so
yeah.
Is it possible that if your husband is sitting next to you and you see that man, are you thinking that in your mind, and you're certainly not going to say anything to your husband how handsome that man is, but wouldn't you be thinking that in your mind?
Yeah, I'll just say he's a handsome man, but nothing further. You're not saying, oh, I want to be with him or anything. Just saying he's handsome.
Okay.
Because that's what I say to say.
If that's the case, so I mean, we're talking about fellowshipping and feeding on the Word of God, and we're in church. So Are women any different than men who will be thinking the same way? And it's just that sometimes we carry ours maybe a little bit too far, and instead of us breaking away from it, we engage more into it. But is there any difference? You thought it in your mind, and we acted upon it at a certain point.
No, I think if you just see the person, you know, he works for a woman too. Sometimes you could say that man is a handsome man or that woman is a beautiful lady, but that doesn't mean it goes any further. You just say
right.
it and
but,
that's it. You know?
But would you say that to your husband that, oh, that's a good-looking man? Would you say that to your husband and feel comfortable with that?
Well, yeah, I could say that.
Okay, so you would be all right if your husband, every woman he saw in the church, and he said, oh,
no,
Sister Jones is a really nice-looking lady. Oh, Sister Barbara is a nice-looking. Now, Sister Daisy, she got them all beat.
No.
Are you okay with that?
No, not when I'm saying everybody is. If it's one person, he says, I say, yeah. And if it's true, I'll say, yes, it's true. But, you know, I wouldn't be saying it's a lot of different men is handsome, and I don't expect for him to be saying a lot of women is beautiful. You know, if you say one person and it's true, I'll agree. You know, but I'm not
okay.
going to stop that. You know, as long as it doesn't take it any further. You
right,
know,
right,
because
right.
they say if you're tempted, temptation is not sin, but yielding to temptation is sin. So as long as it doesn't yield to
okay.
anything, I'm okay.
All right. So, Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here and ask, we're talking about feeding on the Word of God. Do you think if a person, the sermon is going on and a good-looking man walks by, I know how men are already. You know, if a good-looking woman walks by, no matter what the sermon is, even the preacher, whom, if he's a man up there preaching, he's going to look at this woman, you know, and get distracted. I mean, I don't preach from the pulpit, and it's happened to me, and I'm just being for real, you all. So, Darren Deedy, would you start thinking lustfully in your mind, just quickly here?
No, I would think he's good-looking, but I'm not thinking lustfully. Depends on your definition of lustful, lustfully or whatever.
Well, how would you define lustful?
Well, lustful would be, yeah, just getting into your imagination being dirty, but
okay.
there's nothing wrong with someone that can look, and doesn't mean that you're stripping them in your mind or anything.
Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to ask you something about Miss Jay. I want to ask you a question here. Miss Jay, this is, of course, a true story. And it happened to me. I was in London, and the lady I was dating at the time, and we were at the Tube station, which is a train station. They call it Tube in London. And this woman, I was sitting down, and my lady was standing next to me. She was standing up. She didn't want to sit down. I was sitting down. And this woman walked by, and you may have heard this story before, and I could not help myself. My eyes just stayed fixated on that woman's beauty. And then when I finally realized that my neck was turning so far to the right watching her, and I completely forgot that my lady was there at the time, and all of a sudden I said, when I found that my neck was so far that it couldn't even stretch anymore, and I realized, oh, my lady is here. I'm in trouble. So what I quickly said, and this is what I'm going to do, I said to her, I'm going to buy you a coat just like that. She hit me upside the back of my head hard, and I think I'm still having headaches from that. And she said, you weren't looking at no doggone coat. You were looking at that woman. So, Miss J, did I deserve to get hit upside the head? Miss
yeah,
Jay?
You did, because I wore a coat too.
How did she know I wasn't looking at the coat? And I said, I'm going to buy you one of those coats.
Because you wanted the way you were looking, you turned around. I would have told you, don't you hurt yourself, you know, because it's obvious, you know, you all looking at her. How come you want to disrespect her like that? That's exactly what you were doing. I would have knocked you out too.
Oh,
I
my
mean, you
goodness,
know,
Jay.
Mrs. Out of respect, you know, you could have looked at the coat while she was in front of you, but you all turning around, yeah.
But I'm trying to tell you sometimes how men think. We don't even realize that that's what we're doing. It had to register. Miss Stephanie, did I deserve to get hit upside the head?
No, nobody deserves to get hit.
Okay.
No.
So you wouldn't have hit your man?
No, uh-uh. I
what would you have done?
Free that. No, actually, I would have been like, I probably would have said something like, "Wow, I hope she really was, I hope she looked that good. She kept your attention that long." Something like that.
Okay. All right,
it's a quick hit, though, I'm sure, because I know she didn't give you a knockout hit.
No, she didn't. She clearly got my attention. Miss Suzanne, did I deserve to get hit upside the head, in your opinion?
I don't know. If hit, I might have gave you an elbow or something. But you know, I would have said, you might look, but you're going home with me.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But,
that was a smart one. That's a good one.
But what I would not have done was ignored it like I didn't see it. And that's the problem.
Okay. Right.
Sometimes,
so
I mean,
immediately you all, and I'm not saying that I'm proud of this, but I'm trying to make a point here with the human element. And she said, you weren't looking at no dog or coat. And it's hard for me to kind of like lie, but I say, I'm going to buy you a coat like that. So, I mean, it was an omission. An omission is the same as a lie. And so it was really a lie. I wasn't, and she was right. And women know. So as we sum this up, we're going to sum this up because we're out of time now. The importance of going to church. And this is just my closing thoughts here. Going to church, I think, is necessary. Going to church to feed on the Word of God, and I heard Miss Jay say it earlier, for her to watch it on television is not the same. I think that being in church, preparing to go to church, looking forward to the Word of God, even fellowshipping with some of the people that you may not have seen for a while, just that brotherly and sisterly love that you have there. But when it comes to even the gossip that may intercept us before we can even get into the church or while we're in the church, I think that that can be the distractors that we need to be mindful of, because the devil does not want you to hear the word. And then whether or not we become judgmental, I don't think that we should be judgmental of anyone. If someone wants to spread gossip, I think that we should be mindful and careful of what we're actually hearing, because if they're bringing it to us, they're probably taking it to someone else about us. So I think that we need to be careful on that. And again, as Sir Ben said earlier, and some of you all have also concurred with, when we're going there to hear the Word of God, to feed on the Word of God, that is supposed to be our spiritual food to make us better, to make us better. Better doesn't mean I got to judge Sister Jones or Brother Smith over here or Brother Caleb over there. It means that, you know what, it's the hospital. All of us are there for some type of healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, mental, social, financial, whatever the healing need that we have, we're here at church, and we should be getting that. And something Ms. J said at the top of the hour, if this church is not providing what I need to find that church. It's not meaning that there are going to be perfect people in that one, but I need to find that church that brings, that fulfills my needs. And it might mean that you might have to move around for a moment, meaning that I got to find out what their whole philosophy, their ideologies are, what's their policy, what's their procedures, what's their practice. And I think that when we can get to that point, I think that that's where we start to grow. Listen, I've enjoyed all of you, all your commentary. That's my closing for the evening. Thank you all for joining us, and we're going to ask that you join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Yes Walk Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back here next Friday, probably from Washington, D.C., next Thursday. And we may be back in Georgia or Florida next Friday. And then if you choose to bypass Friday, we'll be here the following morning, Saturday morning, for our Saturday show. Until next week sometime, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, everyone. Great closing, Dr. Walker, and great show. Thanks, everyone. God bless you all. Stay safe and stay well, everyone. Good night. Thanks. Have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.